We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, one of the greatest possibilities in the world happened, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus had told his apostles, I'm going to go away, but I'm sending the Comforter, and he will empower you. And he did indeed. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you today. And we hope you're having a great, great day. Alex, today is Tuesday, and we've committed this about a month ago that every Tuesday we were going to make it a time of prayer for our country. And this is so important, praying to God that we would seek God. We pray to God, and we desire his presence. We say we pray for revival, but more what we do, we pray for God to demonstrate his power. It's all about what God does, isn't it?
Well, amen. And Bert, it's great to be with you and great to have everybody listening today to Exploring the Word. We are going to pray. And, prayer, it's been said, prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle of God, you know? And I believe in being responsible and working, and we all do what we can do. But ultimately, our security and our hope and our future is in what God can do, not what we can do. So as we pray, I just want to encourage everybody, and we are going to pray, be in prayer for our nation. So much hangs in the balance, and now we are 48 days away from the election. Look, I know our hope is in Jesus Christ, but at the very same time, we have to do what we can do. We pray for godly leaders, as 1 Timothy tells us to do, to pray for those that are in authority. And Bert, I certainly do pray that God will intervene in the election. I mean, we're talking about legal protection for the unborn, the sanctity of life, the rights of parents, the security of our border, the security of our nation. We're talking about the economy, a crippling debt that could break our nation. I've read articles in recent weeks about those who say that our U.S. Constitution should be done away with and something new rewritten. I mean, it's terrifying to think of. And then there's Israel, terrorism, the stability of the world. We certainly do need God to intervene, don't we?
We really do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, in the last days, perilous times will come. I'm telling you, those perilous times are here, and it really has to do with truth. When I was listening to that list of concerns, the whole idea is truth. Colossians talking about walk in truth. The truth will set you free. And bondage is waiting on us if we do not understand the truth of those things that you said, Alex. And so this is what Exploring the Word does. We want to pray. We want to teach truth. Jesus is the truth. What his word said, what he said, what Paul found out as the Holy Spirit would give him in utterance, as well as Peter and others. So we're praying. But by the way, we did get this urgent prayer request that was sent in. And by the way, yesterday we had a lot of folks sign up for Facebook. And if you want to be a part of that, we would love for you to be a part of Facebook. It gives communication, and Brent does an excellent job of communicating with that, and so we want to do that. But we're praying for a young man. He's a college student, and he was on his way to college over in West Virginia, and he has been involved in a serious accident. We don't know the extent. All we know is a serious accident, and they ask us to pray, and they listen to us all the time. Her name is Christina, And Christina listens, and she said, I know you guys pray, and we want everybody to pray. So, Alex, we're praying for our country. We're praying for AFR, that we'd stay on target with what God has called us to do, to activate, yes, to inform, yes, and to educate and help the churches carry out the Great Commission here and abroad. We can do that, and so we're praying that we will do our part. And so, Alex, pray for this young man. Pray for our country, and pray for whatever God lays on your heart. Would you lead us, brother?
Amen. Thank you, Bert. Let's pray together, everybody. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we have so many things on our heart. But first of all, Lord, before we bring requests and petitions, Father God, I just want to praise you for who you are, the eternal God, our Creator, and the one who sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And Lord, we thank you for giving us life. We thank you for Jesus paying for our sin debts on the cross. We thank you for the open invitation to pray, and that we are to call on the Lord, and He will hear us and show us great and wonderful things. And so, Lord, we thank you for loving us. And Lord, I do pray with every passing day we would love you more. And right now, Lord, we come and we're very concerned about the world situation. We're concerned about our nation. Lord, we have been such a blessed nation, but we need revival. And Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to sweep across this nation and convict us all of sin, Lord, myself included. Father, I ask you to forgive my sins and make my heart more tender to the things of Jesus. And Lord, help us to hear your voice. Help us to desire your word and live by it. Help us to be a witness and tell others about Jesus. And help us to be always in prayer and always thankful to you. And Lord, may our ways be pleasing in your sight. We pray for that. And Lord, we pray for this young man in West Virginia on his way to college. You know his name. This listener has made us aware of this young man that was in a terrible accident. Lord, I pray you would undertake for him and heal him, and that he would survive and come out of these injuries, and he would be praising your name, and he would know that it was you that really saved him from this accident, and let him get his life back on track and resume school very soon. And Lord, I pray for this election coming up, and from a human perspective, and Lord, we know you see things we don't see, and you know things we don't know, but humanly speaking, Lord, it seems like so many things are up for grabs. Just our life, our freedom, our perseverance as a nation. And Lord, of those that believe in sexual immorality, those that are pro-choice abortionists, those that are anti-Israel, those that are for open borders and defunding the police, and so many things that are just destructive, Lord, we wish them no ill. In fact, we pray for them. And we want them to know you and to be saved and to have the mind of Christ. But right now, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that those that are of lawlessness, unrighteousness, and ungodliness, Father, intervene and stop them. And Lord, we are asking that you would preserve a free, safe, prosperous America so that we could serve you, so that we could live out the Great Commission, so that this country would continue to have the means and the resources to take the gospel around the world. So, Spirit of the Living God, rule and overrule. And Lord, I do pray in this election in 48 days, that all across the board there would be people elected that believe in you, Lord God, that believe that we are accountable to you as we are, that life is sacred, marriage is between a man and a woman, little children should be raised to be the boys and the girls and the men and the women you called us out to be. And Lord, I believe that you care about Israel. And I pray for elected officials that believe in Israel's right to self-defense and their right to exist. And so, Lord Jesus, rule and overrule. I thank you for the American Family Radio Network. I thank you that many decades ago, Don and Linda Wildman had the vision to build this ministry. And now the world is hearing of the gospel. So, Lord, very humbly, mindful that we are unworthy, Lord, though we bow before you. And, Lord, I'm just grateful that you're a God who hears prayers, and you're a God who intervenes. And now as we get into Romans 8, may your Spirit be our teacher. And Father, cleanse us, fill us, send us, use us, and help our nation at this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. And we know people all over the United States, even the world, were praying with you. And we thank God that he heard us. And why do we know that? Well, that's a segue into Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 9. I want to read verses 9, 10, and 11. And this is powerful because in our flesh, we cannot please God. But the Holy Spirit of God has entered into the believer's mind to give them what they need to follow the Lord. Listen to this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Alex, when I read that and I found out who we are in Christ, we have a new power, the Holy Spirit in us, and we're blessed that he would make his abode in us. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in you. And so once he comes in, Alex, he strengthens us. He really does. He lives within us. He can control us. And someday, guess what? We'll be raised from the dead. That is all the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we, as followers, have him in our lives.
Yes. Amen. You know, I love what you said, that the very same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, that's verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and if you're a believer, yes, indeed, the Holy Spirit does dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Bert, I was in Richmond over this past weekend, you might recall, and I was praying with a dear lady who came forward at the altar call, and she said, you know, she said she had prayed the sinner's prayer so many times. She said, but I'm just worried that I'm not good enough. And I said, well, none of us are. But remember and take comfort in this. It's not based on how good you think you are or aren't. It's all by Christ's righteousness and God's power. And what a promise Romans 8:11 is. Now, if you trust Christ, the Spirit of God is in you. Therefore, the very same Spirit that resurrected Jesus will raise you up from the dead. As a born-again believer, we have the utmost of confidence and assurance, don't we?
We really do. And that assurance comes from the Word of God. Listen, we have a sure word. People say, oh, I want a sign. I need this. Listen, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is alive. And so here we have the Word of God, the Holy Spirit driving it home in our lives that we may obey him, follow him, and do his will. Well, we're going to be back with more of Romans chapter 8 today here on Exploring the Word. If you can find a copy of God's Word, there's some other verses that you will just enjoy so much. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies by introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love. Her baby's chance at life doubles. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. B-A-B-Y, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. preborn.com/AFR.
Honestly, I think we just need Jesus. Honestly, I think we just need Jesus. Have we all gone mad? Have we lost our where it used to be wrong, we say that is right. Honestly, I think we just need Jesus.
Now that is a good line. Honestly, I think we just need Jesus. That's true. Hi, Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're in Romans chapter 8. And Bert, before the break, we were going over that glorious promise of verse 11, that really, because the Spirit of God indwells us as believers, we know that we're going to be raised up at the end of time. Now, when we die and leave this world, we are instantly with Christ, but we'll get a glorified body as well. And one of the ways that we know all of the promises to the saved are yea and amen is the Spirit of God indwelling us, that the Holy Spirit is called the earnest of our salvation. And so those promises are yea and amen. He goes on in verse 12, Paul says, we're indebted not to the flesh, we've been set free from that, but to the Spirit. And again, if you're led by the flesh, you live for the flesh, you'll die. But verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, led is a short little word, but it's an important word, isn't it?
It really is. We're to be led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, by and in. That is what we have. Alex, the Bible says we have given everything that we need for life and godliness in this present world. And I know this present world is difficult. It is hard. Wayward lawlessness is reigning, but even in that lawlessness, there's hope, because that's the sign that we have the proof that God knew what he was talking about when he said in these last days these things would happen, and we have that assurance. And that assurance is given to us in this chapter about the Spirit. As I said yesterday, 19 times we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, talked about here in this chapter. And it is a chapter about the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. And here it is, 14. As many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. He'll use the Word of God. Alex, I was talking to someone earlier today, and we were going over, you know, how God operates. I just want to tell you, I've had people come up, and it is encouraging. I have people come up and said, I believe God has something for you. That's been a blessing. But I want to just tell you, the more sure word is the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I have a place that I try to use to commune with God. You know, read the Bible and pray. The reason I have that place marked off in my mind is so that when I see it, I know it's like a magnet. It draws me that I want to spend time with the Lord. And so I seek the Lord, and I hear his word. And the most important times that I've heard from God in my life is in the Word of God early. Early will I seek thee. Now, again, early in the morning. And I know there's night people, there's middle of the day people. But there's something about special. Early will I seek thee. And those of you who are listening today and you're seeking the Lord, let me just share with you. Stay in the Word. Have some accountability. Have people to ask you some hard, difficult questions that will help you be directed. But let the Word of God dwell in you. Amen. And Alex, I believe what he says there, we will be led by the Spirit. And the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, do they work together?
Oh, my goodness, yes. My goodness, yes. You know, I've got verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, L-E-D. I looked up that word, and it's a word, and it does mean, you know, like to lead along, but it really means brought along. And we were brought by the Holy Spirit, because if you woke up one day and you realized you needed Jesus, that was the Spirit of God bringing you under conviction. Then, even as a born-again believer, you face each day and you live your life, and you sense the directives of the Holy Spirit. Bert, I can tell when the Spirit of God is nudging me and leading me and prompting me. Can't you, as a believer, if you're a Christian, you know when the Holy Spirit of God is trying to speak to you, don't you?
You do. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Now, listen. When you said that, I remembered something that I was taught, and I believe it. I teach it now as well. God brings us along, and he reveals his will. We talk about, oh, I got to find God's will. If you read this, you'll find out God reveals his will in your life as he brings you along. Being led by the Spirit, he'll let you know what he wants you to do. He'll let you know it is revealed to you. And as you get closer and closer, you can see it more clearly. You know that song, we can know it more clearly. So as he brings us along, Alex, and he leads us and brings us along, we see more clearly God's plan, God's purpose. And listen, isn't it an awesome, I can ask you this question knowing that you'll give the answer. But isn't it an awesome, just knowing that you have purpose and that God has revealed and equipped you to do and follow him in a specific way? It's joyous, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really, really is. And it's a joyful thing, and that gratitude makes you want to give the Lord your best and live for the Lord. And one thing about the joy of it, we are free. We are set free. Now, verse 15 through 17, let me read this. Paul says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And, of course, many people know that's the Aramaic word for daddy. It's such a term of endearment and love, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness in our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And then, of course, and I want to do this justice, but in verse 18 and following, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." I want to come back to that, but remember the song, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. You remember that line?
I do.
Well, that's Romans 8:17. Now, what does it mean? Folks, here's the thing. In this world, we may not have a seven-figure stock portfolio, or maybe you do, you know. But don't be discouraged if you don't have the money and the wealth and the accolades of this world. Now, whatever God does entrust to you, Bert, I've known very godly people that were kind of poor. I've known very godly people that were wealthy. But regardless of where the decimal point is in your checkbook, the stewardship is the same, and the obligation to live for the Lord and gratefully be mindful. Because here's the thing, this world is not the kingdom to come. We are joint heirs with Jesus. There is the coming worldwide everlasting kingdom of Christ, and we as believers are part of it. And just as you remember, Jesus said the meek would inherit the earth. All right, Christ is the king. He's over the kingdom, but we will be in and share in and enjoy Christ's kingdom forever, the peaceable kingdom, scholars call it. And we are joint heirs. We are co-inheritors of that, aren't we?
We really are. And go back, it all starts with verse 15, with the adoption. Since we have been adopted, we're joint heirs. I was talking to someone earlier today, another person, had a few conversations today, and we were talking about adoption in the Bible. And we were talking about adoption now, how that, you know, a child is adopted. And I was in an adoption celebration, and the judge was making the comment, said, I know you have a child of your own, but you're adopting this child. I just want to tell you, this adoption that you're taking in her is more secure than the birth. Now, again, that's what the judge said. I don't know that much about judicial platform, but that adoption that we have in Christ has made us these heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, joint heirs we receive as he has received. And notice, Alex, again in verse 17, if indeed we suffer with him, we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together with him. Now, verse 18 says, now I want to tell you, you can expect suffering. And I want to show this real quickly. In the next few verses, listen to these words that will show that suffering is a part of the world we live in. In verse 18, there's the word suffering. In verse 20, there's the word futility. Now, I'm using the New King James. In verse 21, you have bondage, and then you have corruption. We live in this difficult place. In verse 22, we have these pains and difficulties. But go back to 18, as you said it, and you said you want to do it justice, just reading it blows my mind. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Alex, no wonder when we come to the book of Revelation, no more death, no more disease, no more pain. The former things have passed. We're in the glory and the presence of God, Jesus Christ there. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revelation of the sons of God. I just want to tell you, there's going to be a change. Things are going to be completely different. And the sufferings, expect it. Difficulties, expect it. No one's exempt. And I think I've said it, and I'll throw it back to you. I think believers probably suffer more here upon earth than non-believers because, one, we live in a fallen world. It rains on the just and the unjust. We reap difficulty as we sow things. We're going to reap the consequences. But then we're disciplined as children of God. And discipline most of the time is painful. And then fourthly, we are those that fruit, God breaks it off, and he so we can bear more fruit. And Alex, if I understand that right, here upon earth as believers, we're going to have some difficulty, but praise God, we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us who will carry us through, and we have the promise and the hope that one day all that suffering will pass. Sounds great to me, man.
Amen. Amen. All that we have in Christ, what liberty and what joy and freedom we have. Well, he goes on, and, you know, we've had the question many times, you know, why? Why do the righteous suffer? Good, godly people go through painful things. Paul says, the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, creation, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For this world, verse 20, he says, the creature was subject to vanity. In other words, the fall, the futility. I mean, the hardness of work and things like that. The creature itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Bert, souls get saved. This world's going to get saved. I mean, the physical creation is going to get redeemed and restored also. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, we are adopted sons and daughters of God already, but we wait for the consummation. You know, like the old song, is this the crowning day? Glad day, glad day, and I will see my friend if Jesus came today. So, Bert, I know what that's like. I think most believers do. Life is good. We're thrilled and joyful to be the children of God. But the longer I live and the more I see this world, look, humanity is not going to usher in utopia. It's never going to happen. Fallen sinners will never build a heaven on earth. And I think I know what it is to groan and wait for the return of Christ and the kingdom of righteousness. I know that feeling, don't you?
I do. And Alex, the suffering is real. And just as the suffering is real, the glory that awaits us is real as well. So don't think, oh, that you know, that's just a myth, that's just an allegory. No, it's the reality. Heaven's a real place for real people. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we have that. I could not help but look at verse 21, into the glorious liberty. Listen, that liberty, freedom. Now, we already have freedom in Christ. It's amazing. Paul spent a lot of time in the letters to the Corinthians talking about this liberty. It's not a liberty to and a license to sin. To lasciviousness is the new King James Version, wild living. No, it is liberty to be set free whom God has made you to be. Alex, I know who I am in creation, and then now I know who I am in redemption. Having those two things nailed down brings so much hope that is waiting on us one day in glory. It's going to be a great day, isn't it?
It is. Folks, this is Exploring the Word. We're going to come back and take your calls and Bible questions. The number, 888-589-8840. Call us with your question. We'd love to hear from you.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
If you say, I don't have any unchristian friends, that's a shame, because how are you ever going to win your friends if you don't even have any? We're to serve those in darkness, but not participate in their deeds.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series in Ephesians, Belief That Behaves, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to tell you one of the hardest things, it's maybe the most difficult thing Alex and I do on Exploring the Word, is cut off some of those songs. Alex, yeah. They're so beautiful. Hey, We've got callers in, and that number, we do have time for one or two more calls if they can get on and get in the queue, is 888-589-8840. We're looking forward to that. But are you ready to go to the first caller? Because they're from Arkansas, and I think you want to tell about something. Let's go. Go ahead.
Let me share this. We have three calls coming up from Arkansas, and October 4th through 6th, I'm going to be in Arkansas, Bella Vista, Arkansas, Bella Vista Community Church. I'm going to be preaching there, and maybe I'll mention that again as we get closer to it. But, hey, we've got a lot going on with Arkansas, don't we?
We do. We love it. And here it is. This is just perfect. I can't resist it. We've been talking about the glory that will be revealed. Well, Glory from Arkansas is our first caller today. Welcome, Glory.
Oh, yeah, no, it's Lori, dear. Regarding John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, unless a person be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot be born again. What does the water part mean?
Okay. Alex, there's difficulty, and people's talked about that, but when you see the context, I believe you got to be born, and that's your identity as a human being, and then born of the Spirit. We've been talking about your identity. That's that relationship that you become saved through the power of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
Yeah, most commentators would think the born of the water, meaning physical birth. You know, there's a lot we could say about the physical nature of human birth, but then born of the Spirit or born from above, because right after that, and thank you for this wonderful question, John 3:5, Jesus says to Nicodemus, verily, verily, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That, and Jesus really commentates on this in the very next verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again or born from above. So that's what I think it means. I don't think it means what sometimes is called baptismal regeneration. I don't think it means that being water baptized is what regenerates you. And we've talked much about this. But I think the distinction between physical birth, which we all experience, and then spiritual birth, which is experienced the moment someone puts their faith in the Lord Jesus.
Amen. I agree with that. And Glory, we hope that helps. And thank you for calling. And what a beautiful name that is. And we do appreciate you. Let's stay in Arkansas and talk to Matthew. Matthew, thank you for calling.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on.
Yes.
Go right ahead, man.
Yes. So my question is a little bit fundamental, but kind of general question. I think that a lot of the ways that we organize our desire, our life, it's through like secular institutions, like, for example, just banks, you know, things that create tendencies towards, behaviors that are not really particularly Christian, like they promote greed, they promote ambition for power. And my question is whether we are where to live the way we are living, you know, just follow the best system we have so far, you know, democracy, banks and all these things, or are we with the responsibility to look for a whole revolution where maybe we create our own system that promote Christian tendencies, that create a more of a Christian world? I don't know if it's too much of an ideal question, but I wanted to just ask.
Okay, thank you so much. Let me read this passage, and it'll set it up, Matthew, and I this is where it is. It's in Romans, matter of fact, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, especially verse 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus came into a world where they were doing the world's way. The church was birthed at Pentecost there in Jerusalem, even though the world was Romanistic in most every way. But he says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be fitted into the world. Don't let them press you in to be like the world, but be transformed. Alex, Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul was writing to this in a Roman world. to a Roman church. I really believe when you understand that and know that, it really gives amplification to this verse.
Yeah, it does. It does. And, you know, when we support missions or we lead somebody to Christ, and we every day get up and we go through our day and we represent the Lord, that's the kingdom of God pushing back the kingdom of darkness. And that's what we're all a part of. That's why I want to say, Bert, everybody has purpose. There is nobody, no Christian that's insignificant. You know, I think a lot of people nowadays, they want to know what their purpose is. Do you know, just to walk with Jesus, to grow in Jesus and represent Jesus, what a purpose, what a high holy calling each of us have.
We really are. And there's been those that tried to come out from among them and be completely separate. We're to live separate lives. We're going to rub shoulders with them. We're going to work with a lost world that has all kinds of thoughts. Those that's tried to say we're going to isolate ourselves and have our own commune, our own community. Alex, I understand the intent, but it really hasn't gotten very far, has it?
No. Do you know, in my book, The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late, do you know, by 1900, this is worth noting, and I document this in my book, by 1900, communism had been, communes, socialism had been tried 80 times in America, and 80 times it was quickly abandoned because of how disastrous it was. So let's not try it again.
Amen.
It just doesn't work.
Let's not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Thank you so much, Matthew. Let's stay in Arkansas. Eddie, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Hey, a while ago you were talking about adoption.
Yes, sir.
And you said the judge said that it was more secure. Well, the reason that's more secure is because the judge told me when I was adopting my oldest child, and she's passed on now, and it's a little bit emotional, but they cannot be disinherited. An adopted child cannot be disinherited. So the Lord has promised us through adoption we cannot be disinherited.
Amen.
Amen, Eddie. Hey, brother, if I wasn't sitting down behind the microphone, I'd be up probably dancing and praising the Lord. God is that good. So, amen. Alex, listen to that. We just take a minute. We'll get to Robin in just a moment. But here we're birthed into his kingdom, and he said, man, I want you to have full everything. He says, you're adopted.
Amen.
We got double, didn't we?
We did. What a great analogy. And, sir, thank you for sharing that. And praise the Lord. Jesus will never disinherit you. In fact, he says that essentially in John 10:28, Hebrews 13, that he will never leave us or forsake us.
Hallelujah. Eddie, thank you, man. You've blessed us. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Robin. Robin, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for this time that you're giving people. It means so much. It has changed my life and my husband's for 4 years. I want to say thank you to both of you. I'm calling for a friend, and her grandson is now attending college, and he feels that Trump, he is so strong on this. He feels that President Trump is the Antichrist. I need biblical verses that will help him know that Trump is not the Antichrist. Can you help me in that manner? I can give that to her to send to him.
Okay, Robin. Thank you. Alex, this was amplified with the wound to his ear with some people. You know, have you heard that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that has been amplified and said, okay, that's it. Go ahead, Alex. I'll add to if I need to.
Well, you know, the Bible says that the Antichrist will be a man of lawlessness, and Donald Trump is not that. In fact, he has been the president and now the candidate that at least in America and in also really to a degree the Middle East, he has restored the rule of law. He affirms Jesus Christ. I've heard him many times, But in February of this year in Nashville, he recited John 3:16, and Donald J. Trump said, "I believe in Jesus. I have trusted him for my salvation." I was in the room when he said that. And so he's a friend to Israel. Well, the Antichrist is not. The Antichrist is the enemy of Israel. But listen, the book of Revelation, when it talks about the Antichrist, has a fatal head wound and then comes back to life. Let me just say, similarity does not equal sameness. That's a philosophical principle. And the grazing of a bullet on Trump's ear, July 13, 2024, that might appear similar to the Antichrist's fatal head wound of the book of Revelation, but similarity does not equal sameness. And my goodness, there's a few people alive on planet Earth right now that I think could be a contender for the Antichrist, but Donald J. Trump is certainly not one of them.
Robin, we hope that helps. Again, Satan wants to blind the minds, and he does that, and we're living in a blind world when it comes to truth, and that's the whole idea of truth. And we appreciate you calling. We hope that helps. Let's go to Texas and talk to Matt. Matt, thank you for calling.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well today. Thank you for calling, Matt. Where in Texas do you live?
Dallas area.
Okay. Well, great. Well, what's your question for us, brother?
Well, I just thought, I can't remember the chapter, the verse when Jesus talked about, you know, "Depart from me, I never knew you, workers of iniquity." I just don't understand that.
Okay. Alex, that's over at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, isn't it?
Matthew 7:24, "Depart from me, I never knew you."
That's right. And what he had, look at that, if you look at it, Matt, you'll find out he lets them know that he, and it says, "I never knew you at any time." Now, they may have done works, because good works doesn't save us. You can claim a lot of things. But if you think of this, Alex, and I'll throw it back to you real quickly. I'm going to do this quickly. Judas Iscariot was there, and Jesus would be sending them out two by two, and they'd come back, and they'd tell them everything that God had done. Judas was a part of that. And just because Judas was with someone that had that strength and power, Judas thought, "Man, this is where I got it made." No, it's not who you're with. It's not what you do. It's who you know in Christ Jesus. "I never knew you." He never knew him at any time, did he?
No, he didn't. And, you know, the sad thing, depart, in other words, "out of my presence, you workers of lawlessness, I never knew you." It's not enough to know about Jesus. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus. Fortunately, that's as close by as a prayer. And so, folks, live to hear these words, "Well done, enter into the joy of the Lord." Don't be there and hear those tragic words, "Depart, I never knew you."
That's right. Trust Christ. Do it today. Well, let's go to Georgia and talk to Amanda. Amanda, thank you for calling.
Thank you. So I wanted to question, to follow up on the lady that called about the Antichrist verses and everything. If I understood Revelation correct, Trump can't be the Antichrist because we haven't had the rapture yet, correct?
Amen.
I thought of that, and but here it is. The Antichrist will not be revealed until the rapture's taken place. So therefore, and I'm telling you all the things I've heard, Amanda, I'm not justifying this at all. They're just saying, you know, he's there, and he is and will be that when it is revealed. I agree with Alex. It's not true, but he will be revealed after the rapture. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus says that day will not come until that man of sin be revealed. And yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be after the rapture. The 7-year tribulation will unfold. And, you know, this is in Revelation 13:3 about the head wound that's the beast. The Antichrist gets this head wound, and it says, deadly wound, but was healed. Well, Trump didn't die. I mean, the Antichrist is going to give this false faux resurrection, if you would. And it says all that dwell on the earth at that time will worship him. Well, all the world is not worshiping Donald Trump. So here's the thing. This is why discernment is so needed. I mean, there are things that look good but are evil. And there are things that are popularly condemned but are really of God. And so, folks, take a stand. But that's why we need God's Word to show us the roadmap of truth. Amen. And what is truth.
Amen. Leave you with this verse. It's the one I think we majored on today. Verse 18 of Romans 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you do that today? Would you ask Him to forgive you of your sin and ask Him to come into your life and be Lord of your life now and forever? Well, we're going to continue in Romans tomorrow, so join us for Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.